on the Buzz Radio Network and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
On small town Friday night, red light running, good time chasing. Guess I've earned this reputation. Probably never shake it, but that's all right. I got a love side, a wide side, at least a country mile wide, a fighting side after a few. If they want to see my sweet side, my soft side, my best side, I just point at you.
Welcome back in the zone. Fury Electric Studio, Justin Akery, joined by Jim Harris, writer extraordinaire.
You are too kind.
Want to give a special Tuesday game ball to my man, Justin Moore, Poen's own, for a fundraising effort last night at Juanita's. Justin and 600 of his closest friends packed into a warm room on a hot night, all for a good cause, benefiting Moore, Oklahoma. And by my estimation, about 15 grand raised last night, Jim, for the folks in Moore, Oklahoma. It is a drop in the bucket, but certainly a huge step in the right direction for those folks over there who are going to need a lot for a long, long time. But great to see Justin last night. Appreciate him and his he's got a group, a few folks that help take care of everything, but it was nice of them and appreciate their hospitality. Good to see his wife, Kate, last night. And got to meet his folks last night as well.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Beaming with pride, of course, of a young son that has done so well in his young career. So good to see Justin last night and good to be there with the folks. And it's fun, and I can't imagine what it's like for him when he stops singing and everybody in the crowd starts singing the lyrics to a song. And he's got a pretty extensive catalog for a guy that hadn't been doing it in a real long time. And it was a really cool deal last night. So appreciate him letting us be part of it. It was fun.
Did you see where 70,000 or more packed into OU's stadium for a outdoor show with Garth Brooks and
a benefit concert?
Garth Brooks played a lot, and then the other dude,
Toby Keith.
The other dude.
But you know, when you said the other dude,
the other dude that's kind of like him. Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Oh man, that would have been something too. I would love to see our country stars. Well, let's hope we don't have to have a benefit like that here, but yeah. I would love to see a show back at the stadium like they had back in the 90s and like they had with Alan Jackson and George Strait not, 10 or so years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember them being here.
I'd love to. Of course, not in 102 heat index. But that would be really cool. And who knows? Justin could be one of those guys.
Without a doubt. He's great. And the thing about Justin is he's just like most of our listeners. He loves Arkansas. And he hates tiger bait. So,
you got Joe Nichols, too, from Arkansas. You could put a show together here in Little Rock if you wanted, like during the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of suggesting. You could do it.
Justin, here's the platter.
Here's the deal. You could put a show together with a few of our stars. You could probably co-op Dirks Bentley. He's not from Arkansas, I guess, but the Dirks is a family name from his relatives that were in
Dirks,
Arkansas.
What about Black Oak, Arkansas? Are they still hanging around?
Jim Dandy somewhere around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sterling, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. He was talking about Otis Anderson. His prime years was with the St. Louis Football Cardinals. And he went by OJ back then.
Okay.
That's right.
Anderson, we got
he doesn't go by OJ now.
Nobody does. Not even OJ.
The other running back, do you remember the other running back that eventually got him moved out to the Giants?
You can call me Orenthal. Who?
You remember the other running back they drafted that ended up taking his place in St. Louis? They shared his time for a little while before they traded.
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
And I don't remember St. Louis ever being relevant in football.
When did St. Louis move to Arizona, Sterling? I don't even remember. Was it in the 80s?
Mid-80s?
Yeah,
the 80s when they moved to.
Was Dave Craig the last St. Louis Cardinals quarterback before they moved?
I remember Lomax was a pretty good quarterback.
Lomax. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. So who was the other running back?
Yeah, Roy Green. Was it Roy Green?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the running back you're thinking of?
Stump Mitchell?
Yes.
Could have given me all day. Wouldn't come up with that.
Yeah, they had some nice names. I don't know if Deardorff is on them teams in the early 80s than that. He's maybe gone by then.
He's a little older than I think.
Conrad Dobler.
Dobler, yeah.
Jim Ray Hart was the guy I remember. Jim Ray Hart, the quarterback.
Did they ever win anything?
No, but then Gene Stallings coached them for a little while.
Who?
Gene Stallings.
Yeah, he was the coach there for a while. He wasn't nearly as successful in the pro ranks. I think Bud Wilkinson was a coach at St. Louis for a while. Yeah, they kind of went with that, try these college coaches. Gene Stallings obviously was much more cut out for Alabama.
Yeah, he did all right.
Not everybody can coach at Alabama. Just to jump a little bit off topic real quick, somebody was talking about Saban, and they were saying, well, anybody can go to Alabama. He's got the players at Alabama, or, you know, Les Miles. He's got all the players at LSU. Let me tell you.
We talked about Jerry DiNardo yesterday.
Yes. How about Mike DuBose?
Well, look at Kentucky basketball.
He did win an SEC championship now. Mike DuBose won an SEC championship.
He did win an SEC championship. And very next year, he won three games.
Yeah, every coach after – but to prove those guys' point who you're talking about, every coach after Bear Bryant had at least had one year where they won 10 games at Alabama. Every coach.
Yeah, so did Shula. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Even Shula won.
There are a lot of
Shula won. Francione won.
There are places that are.
Oh, I got one that didn't. I got one that didn't win 10. In fact, he didn't win any.
Yeah, he's coaching games.
Okay, he didn't win any. Mike Price, yeah. Roll Tide. The tide is rolling.
All right, Sterling. Yeah. Thanks for the call, man.
Have a good one.
Yeah, there are definitely jobs that are certainly easier to do than others. But, you know, even Kentucky, we've seen that guys can struggle there, which we thought was impossible.
Sure. I think the point was being made last night. There was a sort of a little Twitter war going on about the Kansas job, that Kansas football is a no-win deal.
Mm.
I think if the right guy's in there,
it's a tough win.
It's a tough. But I mean, it's like what people say about Arkansas, too. Here's the deal. People even forget that in 2007, Mangione had them ranked number two. And they
Who?
Went 12 and Mark Mangino.
Oh, Mangino.
Mangino, I'm
right.
sorry. Chuck Mangione.
Yes.
Just during that time when he quit playing the flugelhorn
yeah.
and started coaching football.
Fellow Paisan, but not a coach.
12-1. And, of course, they ran him off.
They had a little 5'8 quarterback. It was really good.
Yes.
But they were good. When I was in college, they had a good year where they were a 10-win team.
And I remember them, you know, back when Pepper Rogers was the coach and when they had Bobby Douglas and people like that back when I was a kid.
It's a tough place to win without a doubt.
It's a tough place. Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
Is it
harder to win there than Kentucky for football?
Same deal. You know, Kentucky's won one SEC title. They had two, but one was taken away in 76. But they've won. They have one they can claim. It's just like people say, Arkansas, can they ever win it? Who knows? But I think that the right coach can. This may be the right coach.
We're going to get into Arkansas Wild with Jim.
Yeah, the Wild.
Ethan, thank you. I'm getting names from the text world today. Todd Reesing was the little quarterback.
Todd Reesing.
The little quarterback that could. And that was the year that Missouri had a great season as well.
They had a great season. They just couldn't beat OU.
All right, let's go to the Revolution Hotline. Mr. Vickery, how are you, sir?
Hey, didn't Gale Sayers play at Kansas?
Yes, he sure did.
Who's that? Who?
Gale Sayers.
Gale who?
What did he ever do in the pros? He never amounted to much, did he?
Wasn't the Kansas Comet, Gale Sayers? Isn't that what I'm thinking of?
You betcha.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys are having a discussion about the St. Louis football Cardinals.
I know, isn't that wild?
But they were the scourge of the Dallas Cowboys in the 70s because they always played the Dallas Cowboys tough. But they had one of the best running backs of the 70s named Terry Metcalf.
Yes.
Remember that guy?
Yes.
He played in an era when they were still when you could wear a tearaway jersey in the NFL. And as a kid, I remember wanting every one of my Pee Wee League games. I begged my parents, of course, at the time, you know, what do you mean? I wanted a tearaway jersey like Terry Metcalf
sure.
so I could run and your shoulder pads would be exposed. That was Terry Metcalf, number 21. Jim Hart was the quarterback.
Who was the receiver that gave – he always gave the Redskins fits, too. They had a great receiver.
Oh, tall guy. Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm going to have to start Googling.
Not Harold Carmichael. He played at Philadelphia. But Terry Metcalf, the great Terry Metcalf, ran at the old Bush Stadium when they had that horrible AstroTurf. and they would make the transition. I always thought that was so cool because during baseball season, they still had, much like at Oakland Alameda Coliseum, for the Raiders and the A's, they still had the dirt infield out. And so there would be patches of dirt, Roger Staubach having to scramble across AstroTurf into dirt. And that was the golden era back then.
Good times. Good times.
Conrad Dobler.
Who's Dan Dierdorf? They were on the same offensive line. Yes.
Where's Dave Craig today?
He just served me something at the Subway 2 days ago.
Okay.
I'm in there, and I'm
like,
hey.
About Dave Craig that also was with the Seattle Seahawks?
Yes. Yeah.
Didn't he hold the record for most fumbles in a season?
He invented the butt fumble before it was cool in New York.
Until Sanchez perfected it.
Yeah. Mark Sanchez made a bad choice by going to the Dave Craig football camp when he was a – that's a topic I want to do. I'm going to do Sunday morning. What NFL football players would you not go to their camps because you don't want to be like them?
That's a great point.
Want to go to the Mark Sanchez quarterback.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would not let their kids probably attend the Michael Vick camp, but I'm over it, you know. If my kid was a really fleet-footed left-hander, I might let him go to Vick's camp.
Turned out pretty low this year for the Aaron Hernandez tight-end catching camp.
You got the O.J. Simpson running back camp.
Right, exactly.
It's hard to get an offensive lineman that is notorious. We were talking about that the other day. There is there's a disparity in the number of offensive linemen who break the law. That is probably the most clean-cut. If you want your kid to be a clean-cut member of society, beef him up and hope he grows to 6'5", because you guaranteed he's not going to commit a crime.
What was that one guy's name for the Raiders? Was it Barrett? Was it Barrett Robbins?
Robbins, yes, exactly right.
Yeah, go to the Barrett Robbins Center camp.
Yeah.
Of course, he turned out to be crazy. I mean, legitimately, certifiably crazy.
Yes.
So,
well, not crazy. Not crazy. He had, issues. He had some medical issues. I don't like to call him crazy, Bill. I mean, the man was dealing with a legitimate problem. So.
Well, it's always great to hear. I just had to get a plug in, by the way, for Terry Metcalf, number 21.
Was he related to the Metcalf that played for Cleveland years later? Wasn't there was
Eric
a return
Metcalf?
Man, Eric Metcalf.
Yeah,
is that his kid?
It was.
Well, I don't know.
It is his kid, yes. Because Eric Metcalf played for the Texas team that came in here to Little Rock and stole that 16-14 game in 87.
Yep.
Last play of the game.
I was on the goal line, sitting on the goal line, saw it all happen.
Some names you may not have remembered. Safety Larry Wilson. Cornerback Roger Worley.
Roger Worley,
tight end Jackie Smith.
Yeah, well, the great Jackie Smith before of course, as Vern Lundquist said, he has to be the sickest man in America.
He did the Cowboys in as a Cardinal. He did the Cowboys in as a Cowboy. God bless him.
He did. Oh man. Old Vern Lundquist. He has to be the sickest man in America.
Don Coryell, head
coach.
Don,
the great coach, yeah. Before Eric Coryell. They didn't really air it out in St. Louis a whole lot.
Best season, 1975, 11-3. That was their best season.
Oh, it's good.
And no wonder they moved.
They were always right there. They just started. This was all before the stadium debate and everything. And what's his name came in and bought the team. The guy, he eventually moved him to Arizona. But I can't think of his name. Anyway, I knew he was. They were losing their
team. It wasn't Bidwell that moved them?
It was Bill Bidwell, yes. Thank you very much. Bill Bidwell. Well,
I didn't read that on the Google.
You two are a wealth of knowledge. I feel dumber than usual now.
I'm going to lay back down and take my old man nap now that I've had my old man football discussion. But it is great to hear. One of the great sports writers in Arkansas is Jim Harrison.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Great to hear him on the air, buddy.
All right, Bill, good to hear from you, man. I'll see you Friday.
You.
We'll be at Middleton
Friday.
Heat and Air. We're going to cool it off, my man.
Hey. You know the chick that wrote the letter to her sorority sisters at the University of Maryland?
I sure do.
Yep.
Not personally.
She's now got a job at frathouse.com. She has an essay up that is nothing short of genius.
Frathouse.com?
It is pure genius. You won't be able to read it on the air, but I'm begging you, can we please have her on the show Friday? She is a modern-day philosopher.
I promise you, if you set it up, we'll arrange for it.
I've already made phone calls to try to reach out to her.
Done.
You know, absolutely the best thing that came out of that whole sorority letter thing was the reading by Michael Shannon,
yes,
the actor, doing that.
That was right up there with Go the F to Sleep by Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, if you hadn't heard it yet, and I think maybe one or two of you out there haven't, just look up Michael Shannon sorority letter, and you'll enjoy the next 5 minutes of your life.
It is funny. But, Jen, you're a good writer. She captures the essence of the moment very well. And the fact that she happens to be a really attractive young college student is irrelevant.
Is it? Is it irrelevant or is it extremely relevant?
It's somewhere in between what you've just discussed, but you can appreciate her for her intellect, I think.
She could play a young Vanessa Marcille in the Vanessa Marcille story on Lifetime.
I was thinking a young Valerie Bertinelli in a remake of the
One Day at a Time.
With, God rest your soul.
Yes.
Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie.
Schneider. Okay. The whole crew. All right.
Oh, Schneider. Yeah. How about that? The creepy super who had a key to your apartment.
Yeah. He wasn't as creepy as the oldest daughter who was sleeping with her father consensually.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless
her.
Mamas
and the papas, man. Everybody was on dope.
Yeah.
Why do you think they call it dope, guys?
Yeah, the lady who allegedly choked on a ham sandwich was the most normal of all of them, turns out. Who knew?
There you go.
God bless her.
You guys have a great show. Great to hear Jim on the air.
My favorite urban legend. Thanks,
my favorite urban legend joke. If she had shared her ham sandwich with Karen Carpenter, she and Mama Cass would both be alive today singing.
Too soon. It's too soon. So we were doing What If earlier. What if? Exactly. It's 10:47. Got to take a timeout. Way behind already. I love my Sunday digress with Jim Harris and Bill Vickery, even when it comes on a Tuesday. We are going to get into the best clips of the first half of the year. We are going to talk Arkansas Wild. We are going to occasionally mention something that's semi-relevant, and we're going to talk about beer in the second hour and smoothies in the last hour. So whatever happens after that, I can't speak to it. Matt, I'm sorry. We're totally off base over here.
It's all right.
You look at me in that condescending.
All this effort I put in.
You look like a disappointed parent. Can we get to the clips I cut, please? Please. Every dark tunnel has a light of hope, so don't hang yourself.